Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all of our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies our years with good things, so that youth is renewed like the eagle. Father, we just thank you for your song and your word today. And we do declare that the kingdom of God is here. We do declare, Lord, that your kingdom is amongst us. Your kingdom is within us, Lord, as you live within us, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we are hiding under the shadow of your wings, where we find rest. Rest for our souls, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you tell us in Psalm 103 what the connection is between the soul and the body. And we thank you, Father, that we desire your kingdom benefits, Lord, as you sweep through our souls today, as you sweep through us in every regard, Lord, to touch our minds, to touch our wills, to touch our emotions, Lord, because you desire that our soul would rise and prosper in all areas, which affects our bodies as well. So we thank you, Lord, for your healing promises that involve our soul, that involve our body. And we just thank you, Lord, that our spirit is made perfect. Our spirit man came to us, Lord, from you giving us a new spirit. So we thank you for that perfection that does not sin. And we thank you for our soul that can be harboring hurt and wounds. And you desire, Lord, to take those wounded places, those places where sin abounds and is hidden, to be able to heal those areas so that we would be free. So we thank you for pardoning those iniquities, Lord. And we thank you for understanding of how that can affect us in our realm of our life, our soul, and our bodies. So we thank you, Lord, for that level of understanding that can only come from you. The psalmist understood it in Psalm 103. We thank you for that spiritual understanding, the spiritual revelation. So we invite you today, Lord, to sweep into our minds, sweep into our emotions, and sweep clean and into our will. And Father, that our wills would be given to you, given over to you for that cleansing and healing. And our emotions would be given over to you for the cleansing and healing. And our minds would be given over to you for cleansing and healing. So we thank you, Father, that soul wounds are being touched by you in this place right now. Wounds in those areas, Lord, where you desire for us to rise. Wounds in those areas, God, that can go unmasked, unknown, and hidden. They can go masked. And Father, we're just thanking you that today, whether our level of understanding meets where you are or not, that we can say corporately that the kingdom of God is here. And we come to the cross with all areas in our soul and our bodies to understand more and more the connection between those realms. And we celebrate the resurrection of you, Lord Jesus Christ, that went to the cross for all of these maladies, all of these things that hurt your heart, that have hurt our hearts as well. And we thank you for your resurrection power to move freely and powerfully in this place. In the hidden areas, you touch us deeply because you are the sensitive one above all people, above all situations, above all circumstances. So, Father, wherever there has been sin and trauma in our life, we invite you into those places to touch us deeply here today. We invite you into those deep deep places, Lord, that only you can touch with your love, with your cleansing, with your healing, Lord, to erase and eradicate and push out the darkness as the light invades the darkness. You are the light, Lord Jesus. So we open ourselves to you right now, and we say, Lord, touch any area of woundedness in me, be it from sin, be it from traumatic experiences. Whatever it is a place that is not the kingdom. So, Lord, we invite your kingdom to come. Your will be done in these areas in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Open us up. Open us up so that we can see. Open us up for more, Lord. And teach us, Lord, in this season, even more about the correlation of sickness and disease that comes from a wounded soul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Show us the connection more in our hearts. So, Lord, as you sweep through this place, eradicating the pain and the darkness and the sin right now, thank you, Lord. We just celebrate you. You can do it, Lord. We invite you. Let's just invite him now. Just ask him, heal my soul, Lord Jesus Christ. Heal my soul. Just cry out and ask him. Heal my soul. I invite you to heal my soul. Heal my soul. Heal my soul. Heal my mind. Heal my will. Heal my emotions. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my will. Cleanse my emotions. Sweep through these places, Lord, where the impurity lies. Sweep through these places that have been bound up for years and years in some cases. Just heal my soul. Thank you, Lord. Let my spirit rise. Let my spirit rise to heaven. Let my spirit rise to heaven. My perfect spirit given from you, God, if I'm born again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He's given these hurtful places. He might show you someone to forgive. He might show you a place where there's been offense. He might show you a place where woundedness has come in and taken up residence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes we don't really see or understand these realms as we can. And I believe the Lord's opening our eyes to a new level of understanding in this season for wholeness to come in the deeper places that God wants to touch. We just don't know. We don't know all of our benefits. But in Psalm 103, we're reminded of those benefits. We're reminded by the Lord of those benefits. Pastor Bill on Friday night, when we had some prayer for Maria Peralta here, he spoke out and he read Psalm 103 verses 1 through 5. But as you ponder that psalm and you invite the Lord to give revelation, you'll see the connectedness between the soul and the body, because the Lord wants to bless us. So we say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I forget none of your benefits, Lord. You forgive all my iniquities, and you heal all my diseases. And iniquities relate not just to general sin, but also to sickness in the soul, when you look it up and study it. So when the Lord sees that understanding that he gives to us, taking up residence in our heart, when he sees that rising in a body, when he sees that the cross and resurrection, as Josh sang out, when they start coming together, when we come to the cross and we receive all that happened at the cross and then rise in tandem with the resurrection power of Jesus, there's an explosion of the kingdom. And that's what's been happening in the spirit as we're singing to the Lord, praising his name. And that's where peace reigns, love wins, and joy is in the house. So when we ask the Lord, give me deeper understanding, David did, David knew, give me deeper understanding of the soul and how it works with the body, we're going to have an increase, I believe, in healings, physical healings, and also healings that have occurred and then won't be cut off again. In other words, losing healings that we don't understand. I think God's taking us as a group. There might be individual revelation, but as a group, God's taking us into that place to understand these things more and apply them in healing rooms, in our families, in our circumstances. Many examples in the Bible. I'm not going to go into them now, but I just invite you to search into that in this season. As I believe that God is using the healing in our souls to affect others in their healing, in their woundedness, in their souls. And our bodies will respond in like manner, and so will theirs. And so we will have a deeper release of the anointing of God for divine healing and healing in the souls for others. So as the Lord wants to unpack more of that in this season, just invite you just to think on these things. You know, when we have so many different ways of looking at life and we have so many different venues of how to obtain healing, is this good? Is this good? Is this good? Is this good? No, this is the real deal. No, that's the real deal. You know, the Lord is pulling together these things for us to go to him in the word and find his solutions so that we will walk in the best. So with that in mind, we want to lift up, got a text from Cynthia this morning and checked with Lawrence. We want to lift up Maria to you. She's up in, Maria Peralta is up in Cleveland Clinic, and they have been moved, she and Cynthia, to a room where Cynthia can actually sleep now. So out of ICU, praise the Lord. And the good news is that Maria is saying and embracing a procedure for Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday, that none of us would want. It's a procedure that I asked Lawrence if I could or should share, and he seemed to say, go for it. But it's a procedure as part of the treatment that she's been dealing with. It's a colostomy, and it's been really, really challenging to wrap Maria to wrap her arms around that initially, but she's trusting Jesus, and so she's asking for, I got a text, she's asking for our prayer. I was really touched by many of you being able to come out and pray on Friday night. Thank you for that, if you were able to make it. Thank you so much. And I know that Judah had a vision of ashes and a light coming out of the ashes. And that was simple, from our grandson, simple. There, all the kids came on Friday night too, for those who could make it, and I love that. But that simple, simple vision that Josh sang out also today, I believe that God is saying, beauty for ashes, and my light is beautiful, and I am faithful, contend and stand in my promises, which the Liptak family has been doing. And we just want to pray for Maria and anybody else who's feeling that they want a touch from the Lord in this area. So I know that God has been putting this on our hearts for a long time, and Sin and I have been speaking about the connection even more about the body and soul over recent season. So when we pray, let's take a step in, as we did for our own lives, for a deeper increase in the strength and the vitality of our own soul, for our mind to be thinking clearly, and our will to not resist and be touched by the Lord in a way that will release our will into his hands fully. And then our emotions, not just to be stabilized, but our emotions to be covered and healed and touched by the Lord, that have been perhaps injured through woundedness. And sin is included in woundedness. That's what it wounds our soul. Jesus took our wounds, our sin upon him. Amen. And sometimes it may need to go right back to square one when we were born, and many times even before that, within our family line and generation. This is not new to Frontline, but I believe God's resurrecting for all of us to consider these things when we take a look at our attitudes, actions, thoughts, and even reactions rather than responses. Okay? This is a season where the Lord is exposing sacred cows, things that it's like, I'm okay as long as you don't touch this, anybody. So Jesus is saying this is a time for our hearts to be exposed before him in every way, so that we can receive the fullness of what he purchased at the cross and what he cemented in the heavenlies for us through the resurrection together. So let's pray for Maria. Did you want to join me with that, to pray for her and the kids? Do you guys want to pray up here for Nana? Anybody? So this procedure, we'll just leave it at that and see what God does. This is the schedule anyway. This is what needs to happen. So if you want to start, I can finish it.
Well, Father, I just thank you so much that we are surrounded by people who know and trust you, and know the power of your resurrection, everything that you accomplished at the cross, Father. And we just come together as one voice, lifting Maria up to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for every person that's been here to add a voice of agreement to contend for her life and healing, Father. And we just thank you that as she moves forward, Lord, that she remains open to everything, Father God, from the doctor's wisdom and from a place of having spiritual wisdom and discernment, Lord. So we just pray for this procedure and for this surgery coming up this week. Father, we just pray for supernatural healing to be upon that. Lord, that as this procedure goes forward, Lord, I just thank you that you would open doors for Maria to step into a new realm of healing for her soul and for her body, Lord. Full resurrection power would be upon this procedure, Lord. And Father, as Maria does this to move forward, Lord God, it's taking a stance for life. So I thank you, Lord, that you would bless that, and that as we come into agreement with that, Father God, that everything that happens Monday or Tuesday would be touched by your hand, that your anointing would be upon it, Father God, and that you would continue to release hope into the entire situation. So, Father, I pray for strengthening for Maria. Pray for strengthening for Cynthia as well, Father. That that your comfort and your peace would be upon them and would be in that room, Father, and that you would touch her life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So we just want to pray also for anyone in here who has had chronic sickness and chronic conditions, and even if it's something new and it's not chronic, but something that keeps happening is on our radar right now, and also anything that is coming up now and indicating that it's very serious in your life, and we want to see what the Lord will do today. And even if it's a headache, that's serious to God, right? So we're not downplaying that, but just saying that the Lord's sweeping through this place right now. Just really sense the anointing for this. So with Maria and praying for Maria, just put your hand on any part of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions that's been wounded, that still needs the salve of God and the healing of God. And maybe with your other hand, touch your body. And we're going to see what Jesus will do, because he's Jesus. He's our divine healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's Jehovah Mapalti. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. We thank you for Maria's life. We thank you for Maria's stand in faith to contend for that which belongs to her. And we support her, Lord God, in every area, seeing the correlation, seeing the connection between the soul and the body, Lord, more and more. Open our eyes, God. Open our eyes. Open our spiritual ears. Open our spiritual eyes, God. Thank you, Lord, for restoration in all areas, Lord, that you would want to bring in our lives, for family, friends, finances, physical health, emotional health, all areas and more. So we thank you, Lord, for that. So today, Lord Jesus, as you have swept through our bodies right now and our souls, we have asked you, God, we're thanking you for your divine touch, Lord, that frees us from the infirmity, Lord, that binds our soul and binds our body. Frees us, God. We thank you for the freedom that comes through your love. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that comes from your power. So, Lord, we apply your power and release your power into our soul, into our mind. We surround these souls, God, in this place, your minds, the wills, and emotions, with your blood. And we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your cross, God, where you shed your blood so that Psalm 103 could be fully manifested. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. We plead your blood over the minds here, over the wills here, over the emotions here, and in Cleveland Clinic. Thank you, Lord. Just ask him to release his blood covering over you. Apply the blood to my mind, my will, and my emotions, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we release also, we release the fullness of Psalm 103. And your power, your great, amazing, magnificent power to be released over the woundedness in our soul and our bodies. So we thank you for your power, your divine power at work in us right now. Just invite the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon you. And if you're a believer, to rise up in you. Rise up in me, Holy Spirit. So, Lord, today we release your power. We release your goodness. We thank you for your blood. And we thank you for the release in these areas. You bring restoration on every front, in every way, because that's your DNA. So we praise you. Praise your holy name this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your healing virtue, your healing power and aroma. Thank you, Lord, that you equip us to be able to release the same to others in the deepest ways. You're so good, Jesus. You're so good, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for maturing our love for you, God. Thank you that you're taking immature love and bringing it into maturity, God. That we would resonate with heaven. That we would be moving towards oneness with you in new ways in every part of our beings. Thank you that we are spirits. We have souls, God, and we live in a body that you gave us. And those soul and bodies are under construction to become more like you, to mature in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you've noticed a change that's obviously something from God, feel free to come and share that or wave your hand. If you're waiting on that to manifest, feel free to share that later. Whatever it takes, because the Lord will back himself up. Amen? Yeah, amen. Thank you for the time within worship for this. So, thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so good. Amen? So may I invite you to explore in those areas and take them seriously, because the Lord is so faithful, faithful. And people perish. We perish for lack of knowledge, and that's spiritual understanding and knowledge. So those who have walked in a measure of that, just keep walking. Those who are new to this, just keep walking. We're just going to continue to let our spirits rise and understand more in his word about what he says in these areas and how they're linked together to bring freedom to us. Amen. Yeah. Okay. Pastor Bill is preaching this morning. He's coming, I'm sure. I don't think anybody else have an announcement that I'm not aware of that they wanted to offer? I don't have any pictures today. We showed them all last week and the week before, and I'll give you an update on the building projects. I think we're going to be getting into the new worship center in Brazil, hopefully this week, if not next week. They're finishing things up. So that's cool. We're going to put a window in the front, so anything you saw that didn't have that, we're going to put a window so it's not so dark inside. We have some small ones on the side. So things are going really well there, and Holy Clubs is really something that's happening with Inez and those who are leading the worship center and the teams and such. So that's going well. They're stepping out and just saying, Lord, we want to love you more. So that's been real helpful to them. And then in Ghana, Pastor Samuel and Pastor Dan left, my understanding, yesterday again, and they're going back to the north for 2 weeks. And so they're finishing up everything that needs to be completed. You know, there's a lot of, oh my gosh, oh well, yes, there's something else we have to add. So they're going to be painting everything and adding all the different bells and whistles for a Ghanaian place. You know, it's ours there, but it's in Ghana. But things that we haven't been able to do in the past, so we're really excited about that. And as far as Pastor Jose in Mozambique, Pastor Jose has been in touch with us this week, and he is really excited about what's happening on the land in Palmyra and the church that's being built there. And you saw a picture of that last week as well. So it's like all of a sudden these things are just coming to a head, been waiting a very long time. And we were hoping, again, and I'm sorry, I don't know what to say, but just don't have the blueprints other than there's something going on. So the blueprints to build our actual building on the ocean, they're being finished right now. So hopefully that will be finished before we even get to Mozambique this summer. So looking for that to occur, but we don't have the blueprints to show you. So anyway, do we see Pastor Bill anywhere? Okay. I'm just waiting for him. I don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, filling you in on things. So he's coming. But anyway, as far as any of the other nations, I can tell you a little bit about Pastor Benjamin. I can tell you about him. He's going out very powerfully in the area of evangelism, but he's also waiting for what God seems to be doing in the area of bringing all of the kids back. He's, you know, I don't know if all of them are coming, but he's bringing many of them back. So the God is, and that's really cool. So we showed a picture of Timothy last week, which was, it just made me cry when I saw it because I know him, but he was one who sees Pastor Benjamin as Papa. He's a true Timothy in the spirit. So that's really cool. Not just his name, but you know, he really is a Timothy. So he is back with Pastor Benjamin and living with Ina and Basha, and that's good. So we're just waiting to see what will happen with that, and others are coming from thousands of kilometers away, hearing that he's out of prison and coming, and God seems to be renewing things there. So that's good. So here you are.
Oh, thanks. It goes fast when you're having fun in the back. Don't know if you're ready for this today, but I think you are. I think some of you came in ready. Some of you look like you're under conviction. So this is good. Good start. Holy Spirit's already working on us. I'm under conviction. I hope that heart can come across today. Father, we come before you because you're the only one that can renew us. You're the only one that can forgive us. You're the only one that can transform us. You're the only one. You're the only one. Father, I come before you this morning saying to you, I'm less than I need to be. Father, I come to you this morning saying, I have sinned, God, before you. And you forgive. You're gracious. But in my admission, you're drawn to me. In my admission that I am less than, that I fail, that I flounder, that I flop, you come close to me. If I won't make that admission, you can't come close to me. It's like I put up a wall between you and me. If I won't come down from my throne and bow before your holy throne, you can't come to me. You can't help me. It's only when I cry out to you. It's only when I admit to you, I need you, I need more of you, I need your forgiveness, I need your transformation in my heart. That's the only thing that gets us close. That's the only thing that increases the awareness of your presence within me, Lord. I come before you today. I bend my knee to you. You are God. I am so far less than that. God, I'm even less than a godly man. I'm shooting for it. I want it. But my pride gets in the way. my boastful words get in the way, Lord. I don't cry to you enough. I don't ask for your advice. I don't ask for your counsel. I don't look to your word. I don't listen for the leading of your spirit nearly enough. And just because I'm like others that do the same, God, it's no excuse. If I look around me and there are no good examples of this, it's no excuse. You called me to a higher place. Lord, you called me to a lower place, all at the same time. My tongue wags around, and it doesn't always speak the way I want it to speak. My heart wavers in fear. My heart goes against you too often, God. It doesn't align itself with your will, with your desire, with your goodness, with who you are and all you represent to me. I don't line up with you, Jesus, way too often. So I bow before you, God. I come before you humbly, the best I know that humbly means. I know it's not the ultimate in humility because only you are that. Only you showed that. You always operated in humility. Too often I operate in pride, thinking I'm somebody when I'm not. Thinking I know something when I don't. Thinking I deserve when you're the only one that's worthy. God, when will I realize my opinion is worthless? My advice is worthless. Only your counsel working through me, only your word working in me, only your word transforming my tongue, only your spirit in charge of my words, my actions, my attitudes. Otherwise, all is lost, because if I operate in my own strength, far too weak. Such a weak, weak, weak response to you, Lord. You're the creator of all. You knew about me before the earth was even put on its foundations. You knew about me. You knew about me. And you wanted me in your family? The way I operate sometimes on a daily basis, God, missing the mark, missing the mark, missing the mark. Yes, sinning. Not seeking your kingdom first. Not even trying to bridle my tongue. Not even giving much effort at all to seek your self-control. Not stepping up to love someone. Not stepping up past my selfishness. Jesus, at times I get past even the foundation of building up my own little kingdom before I'll listen to you and let you tear it down. What if I put another board up on that foundation? What if I put some more cement? I put a window in before you got to me, before I realized how far off I've been. Would you just let me continue building? just let me have my way? That would be tragic. That'd be so wrong of me to ignore you. I can't even rescue myself when I'm doing things wrong against you I know that are wrong. Jesus, I need you so much. When will I be more consistent in seeing that, in believing that, in receiving that revelation, in walking in it, God? You are God. I am not. I've heard it over and over again, but I'm acting like God. So often, I spout off to people what I think. I spout off to people with my limited experience in an area, limited knowledge. Everything's limited. Only when I seek to speak what you have for people do I give out life. Otherwise, I'm giving out death, and I just won't admit it. I'm giving out death, and I'm aligning with those that give out death. Those that give out life, I stay away from. They're too loyal to you. They're too loyal to the people that you have raised up as leaders. So I stay away from them. I get close to the ones that are the lowest common denominator. They talk like I talk. They boast like I boast. I like hanging with them. I like trading notes with them. Now it's easy. I have a cell phone. I have an iPad. I have a computer. It's easy to trade notes. It's easy to be secret. It's easy to let that side of me rule in secret. God, rescue me. Rescue me from my foolishness. Rescue me. It was so good to become an adult and not listen to everyone that was trying to correct me. Parents, teachers, every adult in my life that I came in contact with that knew anything about my life always had advice. But I've come into adulthood now, and I don't have to take correction anymore. If I don't want to, I can reject it. I don't have to take anyone's counsel or advice. I can reject it. I don't even have to get near those people that give it out. I'll live my life the way I want to live it. They're not going to control me. They're not going to tell me the things I already know what they would say anyway. Nope. I got this. I can slide in, slide out. Jesus, rescue me. Where did I get that? Where did I get that? Just showing up. Just showing up. get your attention. Oh, Father's love, Lord. Father's love. No matter what I do, you love me. No matter how rebellious, you care for me. I just take what you do for me. Thank you, God, for blessing me, favoring me, giving me that promotion, giving me that extra amount of funds. Hey, and I gave something to you at church, remember? I gave back. So I don't have to take the extra step to love, do I? I've got things to do, places to go, people to see. I'm putting together my own little kingdom, after all. When I get done with that, I'll come serve you. I'll let you tame my tongue when I get a little bit older. I'll let you tame my life. I don't have to do all of that right now. I'm kind of busy. Jesus, rescue me. How could I think like that? Is that what deception looks like? Father, forgive me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Why do I act like I do? Why can't I take off the mask? Why can't I get to the place where I repent to you? Why won't I confess my sin to you? What keeps me back? Why do I make a million excuses not to enter your presence and lay out my heart to you? Why do I not run to the front when there's an opportunity for ministry or just meeting with you? Why don't I run? What holds me back? The problem's with me, can't be with you. You're perfect. Your perfect love casts out all that fear, so it can't be you, it's got to be me. But can I admit that? God, right now I admit it, it's me. I'm the problem. And all is not lost because you're willing to come and forgive. What if I didn't have that? What if you didn't do that? What if you sent me to the principal's office like that teacher did when I did wrong? Instead, you send me to your arms. But I can't get near your arms if I won't admit who I am really like, what I'm really like. If I won't come before you, God, if I refuse, if I use that list of excuses, I won't come before you. How can you open your arms to me if I won't run to them? They're there, they're open, but I can't get close. It's no wonder I don't see what they're talking about when they say, oh, it's an ongoing conversation. The Holy Spirit will speak to you in an ongoing conversation. I don't have that. If I hear him, it's probably me. Again, it's me. My soul screaming out to me. My own soul. I need to hear your pure voice, not my mind, will, and emotions. Left on their own, I can't control where they would go, what they would do. Just to make it to church is a big deal for my mind, will, and emotions when they're in charge. Just to make it here and with a halfway decent attitude. But what they're talking about. I took that mission trip. I went to that place. And I was fired up while I was there with the team and without the distractions. My cell phone was too expensive to use. Jesus, that was so sweet, that mission trip. It stretched me. And I came back and I gave the testimony of how you helped me. Felt good up at the front telling everyone. But then I had to live life again. 50 weeks out of the year, I have to live life. Sometimes only 49. I have to come back and live life. That's so much harder than a mission trip. All these distractions, all these people coming to me, wanting me to enter into their secret conversations, and I fall for it. I fall for it. It tears down the kingdom of God. It tears down what people are trying to do for you. But I enter in, and my tongue starts flapping around. But I'm sure those people never hear that. That wouldn't get back to them. They would know I'm for what you're doing, God, and what they're doing to support what you have in mind. Certainly, my words wouldn't travel beyond my little circle and discourage them, pull them down. What does it matter anyway? Most of the time they're off, and I'm just talking about how they are off. What's the big deal? Everybody's off. Jesus, I need rescued. Seek ye first the kingdom of God? That's a joke. The kingdom of God? Me? Seeking it first? Oh, I have good feelings about that. I even come and take the microphone at the front once in a while and tell people. They ought to do it. They ought to join me. Going after Jesus. But then I fall short within an hour after that. A conversation here. An attitude there. A lack of jumping into an opportunity to serve. A lack of receiving your love to give out to someone else. I go around with the bad breath of words of death instead of the fresh words of life that you could give me to give out. But all those people keep coming to me and complaining, grumbling. What am I to do? Try to set them straight? I'm no better than they are. No one's perfect. How will it ever change if I don't say something? If I don't stand up for what's right? If I people please the rest of my life, will I ever get anywhere? Jesus, I need a rescue. I need a rescue. Well, at least I haven't killed anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I'm not on drugs. So I'm not doing those bad sins, God. Come on, give me some credit. Give me some credit. Everybody thinks I'm nice. They like the way I smile. But I know so many times I'm faking it. I have on that mask, the mask for church, the mask for when I'm around a really on fire Christian. I have a mask that I can put on. It has the right expressions. My mask even speaks the right words. Jesus, rescue me. Will I ever take this mask off and be real and confess my faults one to another and confess even, if I could just confess to you, God, you know me inside and out. And you love me in my mess. And you give me credit way beyond credit. But when I do line up with you and I do something for the kingdom and I draw close to your presence. But why are those times so far and few between? What's wrong with me? I know you're not trying to shame me. You're not trying to condemn me. You will convict me. And I'm convicted. I feel convicted. You're speaking beyond my mask to the heart inside where the issues of life are settled, decided, worked on. Where I come before you and say, I'm not doing it, God. I'm just not making the grade. And you forgive me. And stand me up again and send me back into the battle. Sometimes I forget the pieces of armor, where they're supposed to go. Sometimes I forget that they're there. They're in the closet. I don't put them on, God. And then I go into the battle and man, do I get hit. I do nobody any good. But Lord, the times I have come back to you, you just forgive me. You speak life into me. You stand me up. You give me counsel. You put the armor in the places where I need it put, and you send me back into the battle, and I last longer, and I fight more true to your heart. Jesus, rescue me. Forgive me. Forgive me, God. I can't go into discouragement because I can do all things through you because you strengthen me. But God, I sure feel bad at times. But I wouldn't let anybody else know. Then they'd think I'm weak. They might not let me do what I like to do for the kingdom. But God, I'm just not doing anything that's not that comfortable. I won't make decisions that are that hard. I put them off, and I put them off, and I put them off, and I put them off, because I don't want to face that I don't have what it takes to make that kind of decision. Because it would actually mean I would have to die to myself, not just a phrase, a bumper sticker, or something that Pastor Mary Pat says. Jesus. Well, am I willing to die to myself? Really? I talk to others about it. But I know, and you know, I'm not really doing that. Even the ones that have blessed me, I won't stand up for them. I won't support them that much in their time of need. Oh, if there's a time of prayer for them, I'll enter in. Oh, if there's a foot washing, I'll wash their feet. But as soon as I walk away, I don't have what it takes to stand up for them. They're too spiritual, or they think they are. They think they're the top, the most, the greatest, the highest. Voice for God. So, If I fail to support them, they don't deserve it anyway. Oh, Lord, why did I think that? Rescue me. Rescue me. That's not what your word says. It says things like love, bear each other's burdens. Man, forgive 7 times 70. Lord, I won't even forgive twice. And suddenly, why are they doing this again? Why are they offending me? Why? They don't measure up. I get that speck. I see that speck so clearly. I put it under a microscope. I get out a magnifying glass. I get whatever I can to see that speck in someone else. While the log is growing as big as a forest in my own eye. Well, I hear that those leaders, they actually talk about people wanting something better for them, but they're just judging us. I know they are. They probably see the holes in me. They're probably talking about me. What good is that? That's gossip. Or is it for my best? Because they care. And they do want the best for me. And they're trying to lay down their lives and they feel they're failing and they have to come to you. So we end up at the altar together. We end up in your presence together saying, God, rescue me. Oh, I get it. Leaders aren't exempt from repentance. They're the first ones in your presence because of the extra responsibilities over me. Okay, God, all right. I pray for them, all right. I still have these thoughts. Oh, I'm supposed to take every thought captive. Lord, this is too much. Every thought captive? My tongue needs tamed? My life needs to die? My little kingdom needs torn down? It would seem like I would have to repent every second of every day to be lined up with you. That wouldn't leave any time for anything else. How could I play those games on my phone? How could I stop by the places I like to stop by and go to the places I like to go? Or relax. Or rest. That's good for me. Rest. Jesus, rescue me. My thoughts are flying. My thoughts are confused so often. So I just step into that confusion. I don't come to you. Every time I come to you, it seems like I don't measure up. So why should I come into your presence? It just feels like bad, bad Bill, bad, bad Billy. I feel like I'm 4 years old. It's always bad. But when I see the heart of Jesus, that's not what I see. I see you lifting Peter out of the water, walking with him back to the boat. You don't let him drown. You don't give him a lecture. You tell him what he's learning, what he will learn. You look to the future. You don't look at the present failure. And God, you restored him to real love, agape love. You restored him. You restored a person who denied you. Your mercy triumphed over judgment in Peter's life. It's doing the same for me. Man, that's what worship is about. Coming before you and saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for not burning me to a crisp. I deserve it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for not putting me on the never-to-be-used-again shelf. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for using me despite myself and my failures. You deserve glory for trying to use us. You could come in and do everything perfectly right in ministry, in reaching the world. You could stand on mountaintops all over the world and preach the gospel, and millions would come to you because your voice would be thundering and the earth would be shaking. But you use me. You use others that I know have so many holes. Wow. God, what's that all about? Why'd you choose to do that? Father, forgive me. I don't know what I'm doing. But I know there's this gnawing in me that there's more. There's more. I've got to quit blaming the people I'm around, like they're pushing me to do something that I shouldn't do or I don't want to do. I should want to do it. And they're not pushing. They offer opportunities when I'm real honest about it. And if I show up, they're glad. If I don't show up, they still love me. They still care about me. They still support me and pray for me and want the best for me. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. It's going to take a lot more than 7 times 70 when I come before you and I really repent and I really mean it. I kind of bristle when it said repentance brings refreshing. It brings an uncomfortable feeling to me. I don't feel refreshed. I feel like bad, bad, bad boy. Like I've done something so wrong, all the time wrong, all the time wrong. But you say chastening is part of your love. And if you're loving me while you're disciplining me as your child, it's exactly what I need. Your love and change. Your love and transformation. I don't want to be a baby Christian the rest of my life because I'm so unwilling to change. But there's people that will listen to me even when I don't change. Why should I go through the dying when I have an audience? So what that I haven't paid the price? They don't know. They know I've walked with Jesus for decades. Or they know that I walked with Jesus and I went on a mission trip, whether I've walked with him for decades or not, and they respect me for that. Why should I let them know that they shouldn't really listen to me? Because I haven't repented to you. I can wear that mask. That's what I've been thinking, God. That's really stupid. Do I want to wear a mask the rest of my life? Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, rescue me. Rescue me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion and build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous and burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. For I am conscious of my transgressions, and I acknowledge them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and faultless in your judgment. I was brought forth in a state of wickedness. In sin my mother conceived me, and from my beginning I too was sinful. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part of my heart you will make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness and be satisfied. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. And I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and return to you. Rescue me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will sing joyfully of your righteousness and your judgment. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. My only sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, broken with sorrow for sin, thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. May you rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of righteousness, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Two weeks ago, we talked about that member of our body, the tongue, that's untamable unless the Holy Spirit takes over. I've heard so many things of people the last 2 weeks dealing with the struggles of the tongue. Lots of folks, including myself. But the answer is in Holy Spirit, dwelling inside of us, empowering us, strengthening us, changing us. You know, the battle with the tongue is something that's been in Scripture from the time it was put together. And yet we can be victorious over it if we're willing to catch one another as well as catch ourselves before the Holy Spirit. It's a hard thing to catch yourself and then say to others, you know, that are maybe slandering or gossiping in front of you, to stop them as well. That's the extra step. That's the difficult step. But it is possible as we step into the Holy Spirit, His wisdom, what He wants to do in our lives. He wants us to go beyond whatever we're doing right now. He wants us to go beyond this. We're not yet at the front line. We're just headed to the front line. This particular Bible leaf is from before this church was here and built, before Ohio was settled, before the United States was a nation, before Christopher Columbus sailed for the New World. This Bible was in existence, 1487. And it's about the very passage we went over 2 weeks ago on the tongue out of James. And think about it, people those centuries ago were reading that same thing. And if they were honest, they realized they needed something far beyond themselves or the church at that time in order to change and be more like Jesus in the area of the tongue. This Bible leaf is a little newer, 16:13. It's the passage I read from Psalms 51, where David is crying out to God after he realized when the prophet Nathan came to him in 2 Samuel 12 and said, "You're the guy." This little parable I gave you, that you were so angry that the guy that killed the little lamb and it wasn't his and all that, that's you. Sometimes the prophet has to set us straight, because God told the prophet to set us straight. Are we open to that in this modern age? When they printed this Bible 2 years after the original King James was printed, this version of it, they, you know, printed the very words that were printed in this entire Bible, that were printed in Bibles before that, that came from God's heart with the ones that did the original autographs of the Bible. And He's serious about these issues, isn't He? He's serious that we come before Him and confess and repent. He has over the centuries. It helps me to be reminded of that, that some Christian had to go to a church probably to see this Bible and see how big it is. Think about every page of the Bible in a Bible. It's going to weigh like a lot with the boards around it. If pages are this big, it's because it was meant for churches. Now we have it in our hands. We have it in all different sizes. But this was in English, and they had it in the church. You know, they go to the church for the most part. You might have one at home, but more
more than likely you went to the church to hear it read. Now we have it all the time with us to challenge us. Maybe that's the problem. It's always there. And if we put it a little bit farther away from us, then we don't have to look at it and actually follow what it says. We have that temptation at least. Or when someone says, you might be a little bit off here. We go, well, I've been a Christian for a bit. I've been on a mission trip. I don't need to listen to your correction. Why are you correcting me? Why would you bother to do that? I hear from Holy Spirit. Well, David had to hear from someone else. And then he went to God and presented himself and prayed out this famous prayer. Because of his sin with Bathsheba, because of his allowing her husband to be killed on the front lines, conniving, planning. Now this was the leader. This was the king. This was the one that was God's anointed. The one that God had kept away from Saul, the previous leader, so he wasn't killed, so he could be in the proper position to lead the nation. Nathan had to come to him before that and say, God says you're not supposed to be the one to build around this transportable tabernacle. You're not the one that's going to build the temple. It's going to be a sign. It's going to do that. And David, in 2 Samuel 7, goes before God and says, okay, you're God. I'm not going to build this thing. I wouldn't do that. Between chapter 7 and chapter 12, he does even worse stuff. You know, the adultery, the setting up of the husband to be killed and all of that. And so Nathan has to come again. Now think of Nathan. He's going to the king. The king doesn't like what he says. It's off of his head. Some leaders today feel that way. Someone doesn't like what we say. It's off of their heads. They just do it secretly. It shouldn't be that way. But it is at times. He comes before the king. And he has to tell him again he's doing something wrong. This time he gives him a parable. You know, start with a parable. See if he figures it out. And he didn't. So he has to say, you're the one. You're the one doing it. Points the king out as a transgressor against God. Wow. And David takes it. But he loses his son over it. Bathsheba has a son. He pleads. Sackcloth. Fasting. Prayer. In God's presence. The people of the around him at the court didn't even want to go say anything to him because he was in such distress before God. Coming before him in repentance for everything he had done. Begging for the life of his son not to be taken away. Nathan had prophesied that the son would be taken away. And the son dies. So he cleans himself up. And they were asking him, well, why aren't you fasting now? The son has died according to the word of the Lord. And I'm going to worship the Lord. First thing he does is worship the Lord. So these things are tough passages to read and talk about, but they have to have something to do with us. Why did he leave these things in the Bible? They're Old Testament. Do we have to really go and pay attention to that? Yes. Because it has to do with the issues of the heart. Yes, Jesus is provided a better covenant. Yes, there's a better word by his blood. Praise God for that. We would otherwise have a great big altar out here. We would be doing bulls, turtle doves, all kinds of things out here in this field. It would get the notice of the neighbors. I think it'd get the notice of quite a few people in church. We're out there sacrificing every bull and everything that we were supposed to sacrifice just to try to cover over our sins. So in that respect, Jesus took care of it all for us. But to match up with that, we have to have that heart of repentance. So the quote today, repentance is the first step in the healing of my soul so that it can humbly respond to the rising spirit within me. My spirit intertwined with Holy Spirit must rise up. And when it does, it's because I come before God and repented. Some of you have risen up in certain things in the last week that I've also received news of. You've risen up past your original thought about what should be going on, past your original fears, and pressed into something better because you repented before the Lord. You said, this isn't the way I should be thinking. This isn't the way I should be acting. This isn't the way that I should be conducting myself at all. God, help me. God, here I am. I present myself to you. I come before you. And you repented, in some cases, repented to others, confessed your faults to someone else. And you've received the refreshing. You know exactly what I was talking about when I was walking around. You know exactly because you went through some of those issues with God and you settled it. You settled it before God. But there are a lot of unsettled people in here. And if we're going to go and take the nations and continue to take the nations, there is an unsettling in hearts that needs to be settled before God, that needs to be brought before Him. Some of you have not approached Him with the issues of the heart like we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Proverbs 4:23. Some of you have not settled the issues of death and life or in the power of the tongue. You're glad that message is over. Now you can go on to something else. But we need to keep coming before Him and settling the issues in our heart. We need to come before Him and repent. We need to receive that refreshing that comes from being in His presence while we're repenting. We need to quit thinking it's a scary thing to admit wrong to one another, to God. We need to see that that's part of the process of drawing us closer together and accepting one another in our failings and our faults and praying for one another over our weaknesses. There's more to learn about the tongue. As you continue looking in James, it says 4:16, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. In chapter 5, verse 9, do not grumble against one another. Chapter 5, verse 12, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We have so much to learn in this community, drawing closer and closer together. When was the last time that, you know, you got with someone and said, I need prayer. Man, my tongue is just flying all over the place. It's just out of control. Or some other issue of life
that we know already everybody struggles with, but we can't use that excuse. We just can't. We're before a holy God. With each other, I'll give you slack if you give me slack. You know, I'll give you a little slack if you give me slack. Okay, yeah, you can gossip a little, I'll gossip a little, and then we'll say, oh, we'll pray for the person. Okay, you know, let's do that. Give each other slack. I think it's time for iron to sharpen iron more. For one man to sharpen another more. For us to love one another by sharpening one another so that we're after the one that matters when we compare. If we're comparing ourselves with one another, we're not so bad. Oh, yeah, I'm better. I think I'm pretty radical compared to that way. But if we compare to Jesus, wow. We've got something to really shoot for. And it's going to take others in here, not just each of us on our own individual path. That's what covenant is. That's what Jesus decided, that we would be in covenant to help each other get to the promised land. What happened with the children of Israel? They could not covenant together behind Moses, agree with him that God deserved everything in their life. So they died in the desert, the majority of them. And only the next generation got a second chance to try it again. We don't want to wait for another generation. This is the one. We want to be in this one and take the land that God wants us to take. We've declared that out. We've decreed that out. As Josh was saying at the beginning of worship, we declare those things because they need to happen. They need to be the overriding thing that we're under, walking under.
When we worship, it's supposed to be an encounter. I was talking to someone this week. They said, frontline worship, the guys are like in six-part harmony when I come there. He's wanting something better for where he normally worships. And he's trying to figure out what in him needs to change first before he tries to influence others in worship. But I told him also that we struggle at times in worship. We battle at times in worship. Battling through worship leaders, people coming to worship. Sometimes there isn't dancing, is there, at the front? Sometimes there is. Sometimes people are engaged. Sometimes people are checking their cell phones. It's much more interesting than worshiping God. A battle. And if we don't battle, we give in to the lowest common denominator. And we won't repent. That's what you see in the Bible. When people give in to the lowest common denominator, they just won't be real with God, and they definitely won't be real with fellow believers.
They won't repent. They won't confess their faults. They won't be corrected. For heaven's sakes, don't correct me. I have a plan. I have a way of doing this. Don't try to correct it. I've talked with God about it. I talked at God about it. I talked a lot at God about it. And I'm sure he's in agreement with me, because I talked a lot at him about it. John the Baptist says, okay, I baptize you in water. That's good. Oh, you brood of vipers. What are you doing here? It sounded like he had it pretty well. Nope. There's something better coming, where you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit and living water. It's on its way. And he's here right now. here he is. And he points to him. And they're like, ah! In their hearts, some of them, oh. And even the Pharisees came out for that one. You know, for John the Baptist screaming out in the wilderness. And then they fought Jesus the whole time he was on the earth and helped crucify him. They came out to take a look, but they wouldn't really repent. They might have even gone through the repentance of John the Baptist, but they wouldn't take that second step, bowing their knee to the new revelation. We don't want to be like them. We want to bow our knee to the new revelation of what God is trying to release. Today we have an in-party for worship. People involved in worship. Our desire is to see people bow the knee to the new revelation that God's giving out in worship. We know Frontline is just getting started with worship before God, and that it has to infiltrate our entire lives. Because someone's talented on an instrument doesn't mean they should be on the stage leading worship. Their hearts and lives should be in a bowing before Jesus, because they're leading us to the throne room. You can't lead anyone to the throne room if you haven't repented before the throne room. You can't lead anybody anywhere unless we repent ourselves. I know that more young lives will come filtering into this place if we'll get before God and repent, if we say, Jesus, help us. I know the Holy Spirit will come in fire for revival, using this body in whatever fashion he wants to use as a piece of it, if we will come before him and repent individually to him, confess our faults to one another, and keep in fellowship and love one another through it. But if we are refusing to do that, or we have ignored that issue in our lives, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to get there. Even if there's some in here that do, they will go somewhere, but not all of us together. Wouldn't you want to be part of that? Remember the ship message? The ship revelation? Hey, got to be on the ship. People were like, yeah, that's right. Not in the dinghies, bumping into each other. No, the ship, the ship. It takes repentance of being in a dinghy. You can't just go, yeah, I want to jump on the ship. Little enthusiasm there for a minute. Maybe for a couple hours while the message was going on. But then you go right back to the dinghy if you don't repent. If I don't repent, we go to our own little dinghy. We build our own little kingdom, however you want to say it. I'm saying to you, in love, we can do better. We can come before him and just release ourselves before him. I had all these cool Greek words and everything else today. I did. They're right here. They're right here. One of them is zelou. I like saying it that way. That's not how you say it. They even give you the pronunciation. I know how to do that because I was a teacher. I just like zelou. Z-E-L-O-O. Zealous. Let us be zealous. Zelou. And repent. What? Zealous? An extreme desire to repent. Maybe I will use this Greek word. It's good. All you need is two verses on repentance, and they're both 3:19. Acts 3:19, the refreshing that repentance brings, and Revelation 3:19, the chastening of the Lord is good for us. And we should be zealous then to repent. Zelou, to repent. Zelou. As many as I love, I rebuke. I change you. I want something different in you. I will instruct you, correct you. All those words we don't like. They take us back to elementary school. Here are the 10 rules on the board. And they told us, put those on the board. Write them on the board. Back then it was chalk. And that took a while to do it right. I'm always erasing. Then it doesn't look good when it's erased. So you have to wash the board. And try it again, because erasures doesn't look good on chalk boards. And I would get them up there and realize, this is not good to put the Ten Commandments up here, because they're going to find ways around every one of them by the fourth day of school. Why not just surprise them with some of the rules? Like, you shouldn't be doing that. In fact, stop that right now. Well, where's that posted in the room? It's not. It's posted in my heart. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Ah. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Wow. And that's all he does is talk about repentance. Now, we must be in a bad place. No, we're in a place where we're about ready to go to something else. How are we going to get there if we don't do some of the things that are released to the body? Tame the tongue. Repent before the Lord and receive the refreshing that you need for the next season. Makes sense to me. So we could come in and I could dress up and we could do a little thing and you'd laugh a few times and walk out the door. Or we can see what God is really trying to say to us and deal with it up close and personal. You know, when I gave the last message, there was an indication for those here. Hey, we can go before the Lord. I welcome you to come before him, get a little close to him. At least represented by going to the front and coming before him. Now, I had my eyes closed when I was at the front, so I don't know if anybody joined me, but I didn't smell the sheep. Okay? I didn't smell a lot of sheep up at the front. Now, is that the end all? Well, I can repent to God right here in my seat. That's right. But the leader says to you, let's approach the Lord in repentance. Maybe some of the struggles that have been happening in the last 2 weeks and breakthroughs because of it could have been dealt with by the Lord 2 weeks ago, right at the altar. It's a possibility, because the leader said, let's approach the Lord. Do you remember those in the Old Testament? We will now go to the Lord. Yes. Or no. Remember? At the mountain, it was, no, we're not going up there. No. But other times, they came for prayer. They came, they rebuilt the temple. They came. The leadership said, come, and they went, okay. And other times they said, no. Which do you want to be? If I'm not the leader, if Pastor Pat, Mary Pat's not the leader, fine. Just notify us, will you? It's okay. You can notify us. Text, email us. Talk to us personally. Give us a phone call. You're not the leader. So when you say something, I'm not going to listen. It's okay. You can let me know. Maybe we'll discuss it, and there are several countries we can move to. But if we are, then it might be wise, just on your part. It doesn't give me the jillies. Okay? It doesn't give me the heebie-jeebies. But just for you, it might be good that you listen to what comes through. And some of you are, but not all of you are. It's always the case, so I can say that. I don't even have to think it's individual people. We are paying the price for you, trying to pay it more before the Lord. Why? Because we're repenting. And he says, you need to pray more. You need to get into the word more. You need to repent more. You need to get the issues in your own life solved before me to help the people go to the next season, the next level in God. That's why I can speak like this morning. Because I'm in a process, a very good process, of finding the refreshing of the Lord as I repent and realizing that that doesn't solve it unless I have things in my heart healed up by that repentance. Unless I return to the Lord and say, okay, I repented. I got it out there. I confessed what I'm doing wrong, what I'm saying wrong, what I'm saying sideways, what I'm saying upside down, what I'm doing that isn't lining up with you. But I need to return. That's part of repentance. And say, now fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Fill me up so I'm healed in my soul, so it's not in charge, that my spirit rises up and intermingles with your Holy Spirit inside of me, and the kingdom really does dwell within, not just a bumper sticker. Some of you have that. That's on the tip of your heart and you wanted someone to say it. I'm saying it. Let's go there. Let's get there. Let's come there. Let's draw in there to his presence. And not just as something you've heard 50,000 times here, as something that you suddenly go, I need to go to his presence. I need to repent. I need to get the refreshing of that. It's a joyful thing to be chastened by the Lord. It's a joyful thing to be disciplined by my Father. He says it's good for me. I'm going to believe him. And I'm going to offer myself to be corrected. I'm not just going to say, search me, O God. I'm going to say, and when you find something, I'm going to repent. I've given the message about search me. But now I'm saying, let's take the second step. Once he finds something, really do come before him and say, yep, that's me. You caught me, and it's a good thing. Thanks for catching me, God. I wouldn't be like Jesus if you didn't catch me, if you didn't show me, if you didn't reveal it unto me. These anxious thoughts, these thoughts of fear, and I kind of say, well, I've been around too long to fear, so that can't be happening. But you're still anxious and you're fearing. It's the soul needs healed up, and the first step is repentance so that the spirit can rise up and you receive the empowering of it. Is anyone hearing me today? Yeah. And, you know, if you think I'm angry, I hope not, because that's not my heart. I'm trying to lead the ship. You said you wanted to be on the ship. Pastor Mary Pat and I are trying to lead the crazy ship. But we have to listen to the admiral. We're not just going, hey, you know, we're the coolest people around. Hang with us. Woo, 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 woo. No, we're saying, look, we got to hang with the really cool one. He's so far above us, and we don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to go to the wrong place with this ship. And we need your help. And so many of you jump in and do help. But we need help with you being before the Lord and getting on track in every way you can. And repenting of stuff, not making excuses for stuff. Same with us. And we open ourselves for you to point it out to us, not to someone else, to us. Point it out to us, what you see in us. If you see something, you hear something from the Lord, bring it on. Well, we think you're off in this and that. Let's talk about it. We think that this ship is not, come on. Don't talk to somebody else, come talk to me. Come talk to me. And maybe you'll be used to make sure that ship's going the right direction. You'll make sure that more people will jump out of the dinghies and jump onto the ship that God is using. And there's a whole armada, by the way, that we want to work with and have signals across and so on. I've been wondering how in the world we can have a better relationship with the church right next to us. God made that possible. And we were in a time of prayer and have been invited back even for another time of prayer over there. Now think of that. Think of that. God did it. How do we do this, God? How do we do this? How do we do this? How do we? Well, first repent that you don't love leaders in this area like you should. Oh, Lord, I need to love the people going after your heart in this area of Ohio. I need, help me, Jesus, to have a real heart to connect with them. Oh, there's a prayer meeting right next door. Oh, okay, great. Woo. Think if we did that in each area of our lives, how great it's going to be. The body of Christ is going to go closer, not be spread out. People not moving back away from the Lord, but closer to his heart. I want that. I know some of you want that really bad. Probably more than I do. So help us, encourage us, strengthen us by your vision of what's going on in God's heart. And some of you do. You send us things, pictures from the Lord. So encouraging. Even if they're challenging at times. Some people will send us challenging ones. I don't know how they got my email. But they challenge things within us. It's good for us. Father, we thank you, Lord. This went nowhere near where I thought it was going to. But I had a chance to share my heart. And I'm even more encouraged that you're going to share your heart with each person here. If they're way out there on the outside and they need to be drawn into your heart and receive you as Lord and Savior, God, draw them in today. Father, if they're in an inner a little more of an inner circle, they've received you, but they're just kind of dancing around the outside, bring them into the fire. Father, those of us that kind of consider ourselves a little bit closer to fire, we know we're not all the way in yet. We are still on our way. We're still on our way to your full heart for us, your full plan for us in this body of believers. We know. We're not there yet. We come before you and say, whatever in us would prevent us from being fully on fire, fully in the fire, fully in the fire of your presence, and the baptism of fire from the Holy Spirit. Have at us, God. Fillet us, change us, move in us, work in us. We want to be fully in, all in, every part, nothing put to the side, no masks. Jesus. Rescue us. Rescue us, Lord. Rescue us as you did David in the time of his grievous sin. He prayed to you, and you listened and restored him. God, you chastened him. He repented. You rebuked him. He repented. God, he screwed up after that even. You restored him. He repented. You worked with him. Until now, we know him as a man after your own heart, and we say, how in the world could that be, God? He screwed up so much and so major. Lord, that's your grace to the one that repents. Do we need to read through the Psalms again to see how he repented, how he gave you his real feelings, the soul? He laid his soul out there. And you said, this needs healed in your soul. This needs healed in your soul. This needs healed in your soul. Repent. This needs healed. Repent. Confess. Ask forgiveness. And I will support you. Your enemies will not take you down. I will stand for you. God, the same for us. The same for us. If you are for us, who can be against us? No one. If we're after your heart. If you're for us and we won't repent to you, yes, our enemies can overtake us because we're not hearing your Holy Spirit like we should. We're not obeying your word like we should. So we come before you now. Here we are. Here we are. We're at the moment of decision. Will we draw into you and confess our faults to you, repent to you, and receive that refreshing? Will we allow you to rebuke us? Will we allow you to search us? Will we allow you to chasten us? Chase after us and change us. Chasten us. Chase after us and change us. Father, give us the zelu. Father, give us the zelu. We struggle with that desire, that intense desire, that burning desire that word means, to repent. Zelu. I speak zelu over every person here to come before you as a holy God and realize you are worthy of us admitting wrong. You are worthy of us hearing how great you are and merciful and kind and loving in the midst of admitting to you how we fall short. Zelu, we need it from you. We need it from you. We need zelu from you. Desire. Burning, burning desire within us. Jesus, inspire it through your Holy Spirit's baptism of fire inside of us. Zelu, a desire to repent. Call again, second time in the two times that I've spoken recently. Anyone that wants to join me at the front to do business with God, to come before him in his presence. It's just a representation. Obviously, he's inside of you as well. But it's a representation of coming before him, bowing your heart before him. You are welcome to join me at this time and come to the front. If you are physically unable to go to your knees at the front or sit or whatever, you can obviously sit in the front seats here, and that is the front. So, Father, we thank you, God. You're going to do business in us as we do business with you. We just speak out these things. Might I suggest that you look over the prayer of David in 2 Samuel 7 if you don't know where to start? That's one place. You look over 2 Samuel 12 or Psalm 51 or any scripture passage that God brings to you and read that before him in humility. And he will begin to search your heart and point out things. If you can't come up with anything, he will come up with many things. And you can just bring that before him Let it be refreshing for you. Let it be joyful for you as you break through all the walls and the barriers and the excuses to actually come before Him and actually step into it this time. We bless you, Lord, as we do this in Jesus' name.